calls to me. Well, I just pulled into the Joyce Comer rest area, and I'm making a pit stop, as they say. But yeah, I think I'm in fairly decent range of the repeater. Even if I can't make it very well, I certainly can hear it. It was fluttery, but fluttery at a full scale or damn near full scale on at least one of my receivers and antennas, so it should be fine. Let me call you here when I get done with my pit stop and back in the car, and I'll take a listen, okay?
Sounds good. I'll be standing by. AA2WP.
W2TTT disconnected. Connected W2TTT.
AA2WP W2TTT.
A2WP. You know, it's funny, the Echolink, instead of doing like a beep, it sounds like a drip.
Yeah, it does make an unusual sound, doesn't it? I'm just looking here for my power cord, so I can make sure that I don't report home for the phone that's not fully charged. No excuse for having a uncharged device in a vehicle that's got, you know, 100 amps of electrical production capacity. No reason for that at all. Anyway, just to stay slightly tethered, but it's all good. Anyway, I don't know how close or how good my signal is going to be into the repeater, but We'll try it in a minute. Let me just get out of this parking lot. A lot of people coming home from wherever, or going to wherever, on the turnpike here. I kid you not, the parking lot at 10:15 at night on a Thursday is just about full. And there's plenty of diners in there, and while there's no line to use the restroom, there's not a lot of empty capacity. It's, you know, the ladies' room and the men's room are busy as well. So, and the gas lines are, you know, every island has at least 3 out of 4 spots occupied, and some even have a small queue. So, there you go. That's what it's like down here on the turnpike tonight. So, AA2WP, finally winding my way back onto the road. W2TTT. Mobile 2!
Okay, that's cool. You dropped from Mobile 3 to Mobile 2. That must mean that you're getting closer to home. I don't know which rest stop Joyce Comer is at. Should be up by 8 there. Is that the one up there near Cranberry or someplace up that way? But you're slowly making your way home. That's good.
Yeah, I'm seeing lightning flashes in the northern sky too, by the way. That's kind of interesting. But just as I came across the ramp there, because I'm in the car lane, so there's a flyover ramp elevate you a little bit, and I saw a bit of expanded horizon for a second, and that was pretty good. I'm going up a hill now, and let's see, what milepost is this? 79 or so? Yep, I'm actually hearing the repeater come through now, so I should probably milepost 80, yep. Yeah, I've just got a couple of hills here, and I should be able to hear the repeater just fine, will it be? That was good tonight, I thought.
Yeah, I hung in for most of the TechNet. I had to break away for a little bit. Tomorrow we're taking off. We're going to go out to Amish country for the weekend. So little doodads had to be attended to prior to my departure. And then tomorrow morning I'm going to meet Rocky down early down his place. He's going to service my truck before I go.
Yeah, so early for you is what, 7 in the morning? Or are you going to be there at 4 in the morning when he's ready to rock and roll for real? By the way, I'm just coming up another mile or two. I'm coming up on exit 9, so I am between, I guess, 8 and 9 on the turnpike.
Yeah, that was my guess with the Joyce Kilmer thing. I think it's up right past 8 near Cranberry in that area. But, yeah, I'm going down there for like 5 in the morning. That's when Rocky does his best work.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, exit 9 is really easy to remember. It's East Brunswick. And there are two large office towers on the west side of the highway there. One is a hotel and one is actually an office building. For years, AT&T was in the office building, had most of the building, not all of it, actually. We've been out of there for years. Years and years, maybe over a decade now. I had colleagues who were in that facility, and they used to have to go down there every so often. When I was working on what they call the competitive local exchange carrier, translation is the you set up your own carrier by the local access service from the incumbent carrier or an incumbent carrier, and then you provide all the switching and all the other fancy doodads and all the billing yourself. And there was never any way to make money on that. And I took one look at that model. I was working on the systems for it. And, you know, the interfaces to the carriers and interfaces to the customers and customer care. And I took one look at this, business model and said, get me out of here. It was the one time in my 27 plus years with AT&T that I decided to, instead of morphing my job in place or having it morphed in for me, I basically said, screw this, and actually looked for a different job in a different organization. And the only time I did that. And it was a good thing. But anyway, that was a long time ago. It was almost 20 years ago now. I've been employed 20 years and a consultant for 7 plus before that, so. In fact, September 1st is my 20th anniversary as an employee. Yay. Which means, by the way, I could retire. The money was there. But not yet. Another 15 years, maybe. Or a little less than that, maybe a little bit more. We'll see. AA2WPW2TTT.
W2TTT, AA2WC. Yeah, that's a nice milestone. Maybe it'll give you a gold watch or something. I was with Jersey City Fire for 28 years, and 28 and a little. And the only reason why I left was some political interference. I worked at fire headquarters, and there was a change in command of the, on the civilian side, and when somebody messed with me, I said, that's it. I don't need this. I can retire. And I set my retirement date, and I retired. And, it was the best thing. I've enjoyed myself ever since, and I don't have to get called out on weekends and nights and all these things when fire trucks break and people do stupid things and run into stuff. So, I gave it up at that point. But, it was good.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Well, I'm very lucky, Bill. I work from home most days. Generally, once a week, I like to go into the office, and I don't have an office. Let's start there. So but my team has a lab. We share with another organization, and we're free to use it any day but Monday. So I was like, okay, fine. So we have dedicated space within that shared space, and that's nice. And, you know, it's good to see some of the members of the team, and not all live in New Jersey, but the three or four most active members certainly do. And so, you know, I mean, we invent stuff, we solve problems, we make the world better, we show the company how they can monetize it, and how they can also save cost, you know, I mean, monetize meaning in your cost savings or in revenue enhancement or both. And, you know, it's all good. I mean, you know, I'd be pretty hard-pressed to find another job that pays as well, lets me do what I would like to do, the way I like to do it. I mean, you know, if I don't have a meeting, I can, you know, stay in bed in the morning and work at night if I feel like it. As long as I'm available, should someone call me during the day, it's not a big deal. It really isn't. And so, again, you know, the person working at 7-Eleven for a minimum wage, or even my wife, who works at Bed Bath & Beyond, works harder than I do. But, you know, probably not longer, though. I think that's the difference. It's hard to turn the brain off sometimes. I'm constantly writing things down when I think there's something interesting that might be a cool idea. Or...
AMI.
Pick it up.
Thing again, Gordon. Tony here, K2AMI. I've had a brainstorm, and I wondered if somebody would incorporate it into a car. And as I have an older Volvo, which I don't use very often, sometimes it's just 2 weeks before I get to use it, and I notice the battery voltage drops very low because there's residual draw from the battery even though the car is off. You know, the computer, the electronic entry, the clock and so forth. Now, why doesn't somebody incorporate a solar device that could put a constant charge on the battery even though the car was completely turned off? Incorporating solar panels and recharging the battery during the off time for extended periods. Is anybody doing that yet?
Yeah, actually, a lot of car manufacturers have these little 5-watt solar panels that do exactly what you're saying. And while the vehicle's in transit and has its battery connected, because they don't want it to, they want to roll it out of the factory with everything initialized and set properly, blah, blah, blah. They'll put a 5 or a 10-watt solar panel, a little tiny thing, it's like a notebook page, you know, on the vehicle. And but they recycle them. Not every manufacturer does it. It depends on the time to market and how long it's going to be in the storage yard, et cetera, and how they want to deal with vehicle prep. But I did, those things do exist. The other thing is that I don't want to say any more, but I have a filed patent on something that's a little more intriguing than that, but in that same vein. But I mean, to Bill's question, Bill, I was walking through the my living room the other day, and my sons were watching a baseball game, and I don't want to say what it triggered, but just, you know, 10 seconds watching a baseball game made me quickly check to see if I got an idea, and it made me check to see if the idea had been put together in a product. I don't look at patents, but I look at the products. And when I didn't find a product or a service that resembled what I was talking about, I proceeded to write 3 pages of just notes extending my idea to several other sports and other kinds of public events. So, you know, walking through my living room can be an inventive experience.
AA2WP, yeah, I guess it's hard to turn that off when the wheels are turning. Sometimes that happens to me. I come across an idea for a magazine article in the Fire publication based on something that somebody said or something that I've seen. But the other thing is there's a company called Cosmo who makes chargers for fire trucks and so forth. And at the last show, they were demonstrating solar panels that mount on the roof of the fire truck and help to keep the batteries charged. Not so much, I don't think, you know, long-term storage, but I think just any little bit of charge helps because there's such a large amp drawer on there.
May I pick it up, Tony? Is why don't they just build this into a solar panel on the roof of the car? And it could be selectable, you know, for people who frequent uses, there's no need for it. But for intermittent uses or longer-term storage, the solar panel could be put on, switched on, and maintain a trickle charge on the battery. Assuming the car is not in the garage, of course. Hi.
How does my signal sound now, guys?
It's good.
Echo through the echo link. I'm going to drop the echo link. W2TTT on RF.
Full quieting, Gordon.
Yeah, I just had to, you know, get over some of the hills that are in the way, but the repeater's been full scale, but I had a lot of picket fencing, so I was a little reluctant to jump in. But I'm at mile 95, and that's good. I have a light show to my west, by the way. Bill, I know what you mean about writing. You know, I get an idea for something to write or an event or whatever, and I gotta write it down. I send myself text messages if I just want to write down a few key words so I don't forget. I do that all the time. Yeah, that works out very, very well, and it's really, really productive. Because I have a tendency to forget, and so much stuff is running through my head. And so it's really important to nail down. AA2WP with K2AMI, W2TTT Mobile.
But you know, Gordon, I wrote a textbook, the Fire Apparatus Purchasing Handbook, and I was telling people that as I was writing it, I'd be writing on a certain chapter and I would think of something else, and rather than get distracted, I had this big yellow pad and I'd jot down some notes to remind myself that, you know, when I'm talking about the pump, don't forget to talk about this or that. And it's exactly what you said. A lot of thoughts just go out of my head if I don't jot them down, especially now that I'm getting older, I swear. Sometimes in mid-sentence, I forget what I was talking about. It's really embarrassing. Oh, God.
No, I understand. By the way, I'm now in a rain shower as I come up the turnpike at mile 97. So that's a little disquieting because it's, you know, not so many drops, but big drops. So it's just coming up on 13, which is Elizabeth, so that's a beautiful thing. I write, when I write, I will, sometimes I'll send a text message back and forth, I'll just cut and paste it into a Word document, and, you know, I start to write something, I think of something else, I roll down to the bottom, write down the other idea, like you were saying, go back to where I was writing, do the stream of consciousness, then fill in the rest later, and then start moving the paragraphs around. I look at my patent, especially the granted patent, I look at the original document that started the thing. I kid you not, I have written one page and sent it off to our intellectual property people, and when the patent is filed, it'll have 40 claims based on one single-spaced page. I mean, it is crazy as to how that stuff starts to expand once you start covering your bases and details in a patent filing. I mean, so that's the same kind of thing, but like, on a nutty scale.
And I hear you. Listen, I want to play this clip for you because I have to go hit the shower and hit the bed and get just a few hours sleep. So stand by a second. This is you on Echo Link.
That's pretty good. So you acoustically recorded it, and then you're acoustically playing it back, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. That's all I got. I have a little digital recorder. I recorded off the speaker of the radio, and I just played it back through the mic. But it sounded perfectly clear and loud and no problem.
It didn't sound bad at all. Thank you for doing that. I was a little unclear as to how good my Echo Link set up on my phone. I know it's okay on my tablet, but I didn't want to have a tablet in my hand driving up the turnpike. That's just too much light. With the phone, I can at least I can hit the transmit button and turn the phone away from my face, down toward my belly if I need to, and still get really good audio response. Tony, what was your opinion of the audio that you heard, considering it was acoustically recorded and played back?
I heard it live on my radio, and it was excellent. It had excellent audio through Echo Link. You would not have guessed that it was Echo Link, that it sounded as well as it does through any repeater.
Well, Jim K2FJ has done a good job in setting it up. In fact, if you see him tomorrow morning at a coffee, let him know and compliment him on that. And then the other thing is that I made sure that my phone and my tablet were both set up pretty well. Living in the shadow of the repeater, it's easy to do when you're home. It's like, get it done right. Interestingly enough, the phone was using Wi-Fi for its connection to a cell hotspot that I have on the back of my car. And so, besides the fact that the turnpike is fairly well covered by AT&T 4G LTE cell coverage, in fact, it's excellently covered these days, I had an unusually strong signal, so I didn't have any nonsense with the connection, dumping or things like that. In fact, I was in Maryland I started the cell the connection and maintained it continuously, except when I went for a pit stop and I dropped the Wi-Fi and I walked away from the hotspot in the car. But it was all good. AATWP, thank you, Bill, for recording that. Did you want to sign and go about your business for the night?
Yeah, affirmative. I just wanted to play that back to you because I knew I was going to be gone for the next 3 days. So I'll say 73s, and is it Tony? I'm sorry if we dominated the conversation, but you have a good idea there with the solar panels. I think it's probably just a cost factor that they wouldn't include it on every car because of the cost involved. Anyway, W2TTT, AA2WP, 73s, and I'll catch you on the rebound.
You will see it on high-end cars in the future as a battery tender. And there's a couple of different technologies out there to make that happen. at very reduced cost, and you don't need a lot of capacity. That's the other thing. You just don't need a lot of capacity. So think about that. Lord, all that noise to the other receiver. Anyway, 73 Bill, AETWB. Have fun tomorrow. W2TTT.
Greetings, Bill, and have a good trip tomorrow to the Amish country. Enjoy it. Gordon, you're doing pretty good, so I'm going to sign with you also. Nice to hear you rolling along there and communicating. And do you think you're going to get to the Hamfest on Saturday?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I'll be up and early. I've got stuff to bring, and we'll go from there. I'm truly enjoying, I enjoyed that Hamfest a lot, and so I'm going to bring a couple of things to pedal off, and I'm going to print some manuals. That's the only thing I need to do is print some manuals for folks, and nice lightning display east of Newark Airport now, along 109, by the way, Pulaski Skyway area. Just by Alphabet City, or they call it the Alphabet Land of 14 ABC. So that's a good thing. Yeah, I'll be there probably by 6 a.m. as a vendor, Tony. I intend to get an indoor spot, probably right near where Gene is, right where I always am inside. You know, as you come in that building where Gene has got the long display on one end, I'll be in to the right, probably.
Good, very good. I don't plan to sell anything or be a vendor at all at this Hamfest. And I'm not too interested in buying too much, but I'm looking. And just on a FYI, I'm looking for about 50 foot of four-conductor cable that I can use to something like rotator cable. It could be flat. It could be a round circuit, round construction. Should be at least number 18 gauge wire. Here's my dad, throw it in the truck.
Oh, why don't I just give you a hunk of Cat 5 cable and you use two conductors at a time per lead? Would that work for you? Or does it have to be flexible?
It doesn't have to be too flexible. Something that will be laying in the grass or between two points. My antenna tuner is at the antenna, and the radio is back at the desk someplace. You think Cat 5, two Cat 5s, a pair of Cat 5s connected together will suffice for about an 18 gauge wire?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, you know, you're only running 50 feet. I mean, if you're running 100, I'd say, yeah, you probably have to go 19, but, you know, Cat 5 is number 26, or is it smaller? I can't remember now, but that might be worth listening to. Is it? Maybe Randy knows. W2TTT. Randy, you saw it?
W2TTT, disconnected.
We are the bees, and if it works for you, great. If it doesn't, I know I'm giving you more than 100 feet of it. Worst case is you can take four conductors and get, you know, for each lead and just run the two in parallel. How's that?
Sounds a little bit clumsy. Let me look around, see what I can find. If I can't find anything, I'll get back to you, okay?
All right, if I find, I may have some of that flat stuff you're looking for. I'll just be darned if I know where I put it. I think I have some of that four-conductor brown stuff somewhere, but, you know, I was just thinking I had a piece of Cat 5 that I could easily give you, but, you know, if it's not adequate for your purpose, I understand. Anyway, I'm just going underneath the Pulaski Skyway on the turnpike, and that's a beautiful thing. You want this for like a an ICOM tuner, an AH3 or AH4?
Here, an AH4 situation. situated, 50 feet away from me, from the transceiver, and just in the field setup, that's all.
Is this going to be used at home?
Negative. It's in the field type operation for portable day coming up.
Okay, so you really want something that's stranded. MICAT 5 is solid, so you don't want that anyway. But if I find the control cable for the four lead control cable, it's yours for the asking, no problem. All right. What else is going on?
Not very much. Things are, it's doldrums of the summer now. We're just about getting ready to go to our new, back to the high school for our kid night locations in September. And of course, with Labor Day coming on Monday, the 1st, that puts our Barra meeting off to the following week, I guess around the 6th or the 7th. And we're still not 100% sure that we're going to do the VHF contest this September, depending upon participation.
Yeah, I can tell you I'm stressed to the max on availability in September. The second weekend I've got a camp out, and the fourth weekend I've got a camp out, but in the Adirondacks. So I'm going to take that Friday off for the last weekend in September. And actually, parents are going to be encouraged to take their kids out of school that day. And so far, the ones who want to go are very inclined to do so. So I'm kind of excited. That's a lot of fun. In fact, I'm trying to convince my third son and maybe my second son to come along for the ride. But anyway. It'll be a lot of fun up at Floodwood. Just curious, what weekend is Portable Day?
Like the third weekend, the 24th or something like that, 23rd, 24th. And it's a Saturday in that third weekend. I think that the second weekend is the VHF contest, and then the third weekend is the Portable Day.
Yeah, it is. So, unfortunately, you'll have to count me out for the VHF contest because of the that camp out. That camp out actually is in Alpine, but we set it up so that we can give out awards and things like that, for all the kids who went to summer camp and the like. When I get that all squared away for the families, or for the kids who earned their stuff. Anyway, I can understand. So, I will see you Saturday, and I have flyers for our Hamfest in December, by the way. Can't remember what the date is, but it's on the flyer I'll be giving you. You and everybody else. So, we'll have a Hamfest and flea market in December at St. John's, so that's kind of cool. So, I explained to the families that by and large I can pretty much go camping anytime in the fall and into the winter, but Jeremy's spring hockey season is absolutely non-negotiable as far as where I'm going, how I'm going, etc. And that's the way it's going to be. Anyway, you take care, and I'll see you Saturday, and if I find that cable, I'll bring it to the Hamfest. Looks like I'll be available for a portable day, which is outstanding. Maybe I'll bring my own rig. I did my own little portable day in Fort Wayne when we were there for hockey. I brought my Flex 1500, little 5-watt radio, and a 40-meter dipole. I had a ball. Made QSOs all over God's green earth on 40. Anyway. K2AMI, K2BAR. No, W2TTT. That's who I am.
Time of night is kind of hard to figure out. All right, 73 is going to catch 11 o'clock news in a minute. And it's 5 to 11 here, local time, for high. Have a great evening, and we'll speak to you again. K2AMI is going to clear.
73. K2AMI, W2TTT. At the toll barrier. Yay. Thank you. W2TTT Whiskey 2 Tango 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 listening. W2TTT Whiskey 2 Tango 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 listening. 955.
Hi, Gordon, and to NBR.
Hey, John, how are you?
Okay, I was reading the mail before. You're in the patent area?
No, actually, I don't work in the intellectual property group.
At AT&T, I work in what's lovingly referred to as information technology, IT. But some of my patents are IT-related. Some are network, some are consumer, some are other aspects of the business. And some are not even our business, but we think somebody can make some money on it, so that the company decides to patent it so that they can license it to somebody else or trade it to somebody else for other intellectual property or products or services.
Very good. Reason I mentioned that, I got a speaker in the other room that's going to yell at me, or that is yelling at me, so that's where you hear the echo. I'll turn it down in the next transition. I have an Ampex tape recorder. Apparently, unbeknownst to me and a lot of other people, AT&T owns the original patent to audio, maybe even video tape recorders. Is that true?
They certainly have patents in audio recording. I don't know how many of them are still current. I mean, you know, after a period of time, and if renewed, there's only so long you can hold on to the rights to these things, you know.
Yeah, I have an old Ampex 601 tape recorder that I've had for years and years, and I had to open it up one day to make some adjustments and change some tubes and such. About a couple of years ago, and there was a label inside, and I was astounded upon reading the label. I thought it was, you know, Ampex is Ampex, right? Wrong. Apparently, they leased or at the time they built it. Remember, this machine goes back to the 60s. The label said something about, I'd have to open the machine up now to reread it, to quote it to you, but. It's to the effect that AT&T owns the original patent on it. This is an audio. I'm sure you've heard of it. They made a 600, 601, 602, something like that. And it's a great tape machine. It had some mechanical issues towards the end of the tape. It would, the whole back tension was a little steep. But other than that, it was a great machine.
Yeah, okay. So you're talking about a pre-1980s patent, or a pre-1983 patent, actually. So, understand how patents worked in Bell Labs, or AT&T. Because of the monopoly status of AT&T, anything that it invented, which it held a patent, obviously, they had to license at reasonable, you know, levels to basically anybody who wanted it, okay, for that. So it got really, really complicated, but for instance, if Ampex wanted sole rights to something, okay, AT&T would have to figure out then what the total market potential would be. They had to negotiate that with Ampex, come up with a fair and equitable patent licensing fee, and that would be that. Ampex would pay blah, blah, blah. If Ampex did not want to have exclusive rights to that patent, then a lesser figure could be negotiated for what it determined in cooperation with, in this case, you know, that would be, and then AT&T would be free to license it to other comers on that basis. So, you know, but after divestiture, that relationship very much changed. You didn't have a monopoly status, and all the constituent companies that AT&T became
sudden could license new things differently at fair market value. The old combined patents were divvied up among companies, and it's got some of it. Depending on whether or not it was a Western Electric patent or not, or whether or not it was considered general use telephone, in which case Belcor got the patents. And the seven operating companies thought that, owned that or had use of that patent exclusively, then they owned that patent, and that was assigned through Belcor.
Repeater. Timeout. Clear.
I'm sorry, John. How long did I go?
Well, the timeout was about 30 seconds or so, maybe, I'm guessing.
Okay, so basically, after 84 and after, any new intellectual property was the property of the company that invented it, and they owned the rights. They could do whatever they wanted with it. Anything prior to 84 was assigned to either Belcor if it was owned by the operating companies, Lucent if it was owned by essentially Western Electric or Bell Labs, or AT&T if it was assignable to them on the legacy portfolio. And there were varying rules depending on what those things were, how they had to be licensed going forward, even though it was prior art to 19.
Well, I thought that breakup was insane, really. I mean, to make it, if you had to come up with that much inventive genius, it would seem to me. Now, you have to pay for, and you have to have the smarts among five or seven companies, whatever it was, have all of that and pay seven times as much for it. Make a whole lot of sense. And it ruined a lot of lives, too, is concerning. Distribution of money and all that, I'm told. I was never part of it. I stuck with NBC for 30 minutes until GE took it over and then, practically ran it into the ground. They kept the best shows going, but the rest of it, they treated the employees like as if we were a bunch of washing machine assemblers. But I'm not just trying. Basically, the machine was built in, I guess it was built in about 63 or so. The 600, 601, 602, there was, slight modifications in each progressing model number. And it was a great machine for its day. It really was. Then they came out with the 351 series, both portable as well as steel. And that made it even better because they learned some things about the 601 and, doing the 601. And, it couldn't do 10-inch reels. The 351s could do 7. No, they could do 10 or 7s, the 351s. And the Ampex 600 series could only do 7s. But it was a great machine. Broadcast quality, the whole schmear. You could, it would time out easily with a synchronous motor within 15 seconds, depending on tape drag.
Well, that's pretty good. Yeah, actually, in the 70s, I had some of those machines, 10-inch reel ones. Somehow or another, I got my hands on surplus. I got some 350s series machines for our high school. Got them at no cost. I do know that because we had no money. I'm trying to remember how we got them. Anyway, people would walk into our carrier current radio station and go, "Where the hell did you get 10-inch reel stuff?" And we had some 7 stuff too, but that was really ancient. It sounded like hell, but the 10-inch stuff sounded really good. But, they were, broadcast quality gear, and the 7-inch stuff we had was that era consumer stuff from, say, the early 60s, early 70s, so it was pretty crapped up at that point. As I like to tell people, if you're video, if your audio recorder was had a lid and a carry handle and was consumer grade, it was, I mean, it was enormous, the size of a sewing machine, but the audio that comes out of it is going to be crap. I mean, it's terrible. We'd use it for interviews and things like that. Things, you know, we had to go interview somebody. We wanted them to be in their environment. We would, like the newspaper, head of the newspaper, by the administration, there was a faculty for an interview or, you know, something like that. We'd do that. Yeah, they must have had some discussions concerning, I mean, assuming the patent was, you know, during the breakup, the patent had to be, well, first of all, it was a very easily saturable market. If you're selling to a bunch of radio stations and maybe some colleges, but, you know, whether it's the 600 or the 351. The 351, of course, is a real workhorse, as you probably know, and I wish I'd had one today. I had an old 400. I just couldn't get parts for it, so I had to give up on it and put it in the junk pile. But they were all terrific machines. And they, you know, as each one came out, they learned from, you know, progressively. But the there was a man named Kadelski in Switzerland that built a portable, 8 or 10 batteries, I forget, ran the D-cells, would run the thing. Also, very high, I think it was built like a Swiss watch, and it had very high speed accuracy. You know, you could put a neon light on the little, one of the little wheels there that had a calibration thing on it, and it stayed, it never drifted. Great machine, though, worth about $4,000 or $5,000, but in fact, when they started going, when ABC TV, somebody told me, one of my friends told me they were throwing them in the dumpster by you know, the tins or so. Everybody had to send their machine back from the boonies to ABC in New York, and then they proceeded to throw them out, which I thought was tragic. I mean, they could have given them to people, you know, worthwhile people but that, I thought that was really insane. But anyhow, because I wish, you know, not only because I wish I had one, but I'm sure that many other people do. Anyway, Kadelski, he was called a Nagra, by the way, N-A-G-A-R-A, something like that. But also a wonderful tape machine. Back to you, and to NPR.
Okay, very good, John.
Yeah, well, I never had those. I had, I guess, the 351s, a pair of them. And my guess is 1973, 74. My guess is we probably got them from someone who was sympathetic to our cause. I wrote a ton of letters. Like now, I was even more of a ball of energy and didn't know what no was. To give you an idea of the chutzpah that I had, I went to Xavier High School, and so I actually wrote WSUV 1972 as a freshman in high school, fall, and said, gee, you're not a 24-hour station, and we are a brother Jesuit institution in the city of New York. Could we provide you with programming tapes, and would you broadcast them your otherwise idle hours for us so that we could have a Voice of Xavier High School on the air? And the answer came back, we are planning to go 24 hours. Sorry, we can't accommodate your request. But I had that letter in my hand before Thanksgiving of my freshman year of high school. And you can imagine, you can imagine the interest and the questions that letter caused in both my high school and at Fordham University. Yeah, back in those days, most on-air folks weren't doing 24 hours. You know, they'd sign off. You'd hear the star. You'd fall asleep on a TV program. Star-Spangled Banner would wake you up at 3 o'clock or something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you got to remember that Fordham Prep, you know,
a radio station or even a radio program on WFUV. So at the time, there were, well, Brooklyn Prep had just closed that previous spring, and let's see, and St. Peter's had nothing. So all the Jesuit high schools were broadcast less, and so I was looking to change that. And we started by actually pumping audio into the school PA system. We could selectively direct audio. Every so often, it was very entertaining. We'd misdirect it, and all of a sudden, a classroom would get our programming while there was a class in it, as opposed to, you know, other times. But we worked that out. We put it into the quad, the student center, which was essentially a collective study hall. It was the old gym, and the church basement, which was the cafeteria, and the gym. We've got those four areas, and we did this by having we had access. We had access to a room, which was our studio, next to the dean of students' office, which had the PA connection. So all we had to do is run cable between the two, and that was that. And they had all the selectors on a panel, a big rack panel PA system that, you know, you could selectively talk to one classroom or the other, as many as you wanted. Anyway, I got to go, John. I'm in the driveway. It's been a long day. I left here at 9 this morning and just getting home at 11:30 now, so it's all good. 73, N2NBR, W2TTT.
Oh, yeah, I remember those racks. Right next to the principal's office in most schools, good PA system. Anyway, get some sleep and enjoy your day off tomorrow, I think you said earlier. W2TTT, this is N2NBR, saying 73, listening up.
73, John. 73, enjoyable Q, so. And W2NBR, W2TTT.
Thank you. on the other one?
Yeah, I was at the dead stop on the Merritt Parkway again, and wanted to see if I could get in.
Yeah, I talked to Steve as brief as it could be. I said hello to him before. I was a little tied up putting an AC condenser in a Jeep. And I just sat down to have some coffee, and I just went to turn the volume up on the other one, and I saw the key. I said, I know who that was.
Yeah, this construction on the Merritt is killing me. I mean, well, you only stop for 5 minutes, but it's just annoying. I can't. They weren't out there yesterday. It was a beautiful morning yesterday. They're out there today in the pouring rain.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to see the rain when I walked out of the house. I didn't watch any weather. Did some tomato picking yesterday. Didn't even work on my bracket at all. I wanted to get these tomatoes. Probably going to take everything out this weekend, or some of them are starting to rot away already.
Sure sign that the summer's coming to an end.
Unfortunately, we had a very, very long, nasty winter. Not the greatest spring in the world, and like you said, I can't believe this is almost the end of August already.
Yeah, before you know it, we'll be doing my next least favorite yard work, raking leaves.
Yeah, I hope I can do that. I hope I'm all over with this garbage by then, but we'll find out.
Yeah, I'd like to make an investment into either a gas backpack or one of those rolling leaf blowers.
Yeah, I don't do too bad with the leaves. I got this one neighbor next door that's got a humongous tree in their yard. The tree looks so hideous in this yard, they don't have much property, and I get all my leaves from them.
A tree. Geez, I wish I had a tree. I have 5 in the front and about 10 or 12 in the back. It's quite a chore doing leaves on my property.
And what owe you, Katie Tubular? I could imagine. I lived when I was younger and lived up in West Orange when we bought the house. I was in the same predicament as you with all the trees. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, they're nice for shade in the summer. Keep the house a little cooler. Or easier to cool. But in the winter, in the fall, it's a real chore. Then I've got to cover up my pool. It'll be a fun fall.
Have you got your coffee yet?
No. And this little stoppage on the Merritt Parkway put me behind a little bit. I want to get there before 2. Otherwise, they lock the doors and count their money.
Yeah, that's a drag. You would think somebody would take the money into an office and count it and keep the counter open with somebody else there. It don't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't know if they have an office at that mobile stop. And I guess they're limited on people that can run the cash register. They don't have a big crew this early in the morning.
Yeah, I heard Willie P, I think, on last night. I fell asleep with my radio on. I don't know if he was in the tech net or whatever. I was like dozing in and out, and I think I heard him. And God, by the time I got up, one of the guys from the CBS net and W2TTT was still out there talking at midnight.
Yeah, I haven't talked to Gordon since I've been back. Yeah, he can be up late at night with his work.